I said, thank God for the blood of Christ. Woo, that covers me this morning. Oh, blessed be God. I went to bed clothed in the blood. Oh, come on, somebody. I woke up this morning clothed in the blood. Oh, I'm going to walk through this day clothed in the blood. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Amen. That beauty of holiness is the blood of Jesus that covered you. And I can tell you right now, the devil ain't afraid of nothing else. He's not afraid of how loud you can shout, how far you can run, how high you can jump, how many scriptures you can quote. But I tell you what he is afraid of. He's afraid you're going to walk in the blood. Come on. He's afraid you're going to worship in the blood. Because in that fact, the blood is against him. Come on, somebody. I said, come on. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The blood of Jesus has made me pure. I am a worshiper. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, I am a worshiper. Before I am anything else, I am a worshiper. God has called me to be a worshiper, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Our evangelist taught us Monday night. Well, I'm glad to be here. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Good to see everybody that's here this morning. Amen. Half asleep and all. Praise the Lord. Well, don't go to sleep, please. But if you do, I'd rather you sleep here. Come on, somebody, then open the door. Because I'll just come back there where you at. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. You love Jesus this morning? My, what a wonderful camp. Would you give the Lord for what he's doing in Truth Camp 2013? What an awesome God. What a powerful Savior who's moving in this place. I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And I want to begin reading in verse 24 for our text this morning. Several verses here, at least four or five verses here. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24. If you'd stand for the reading of God's word, somebody say, my father is about to speak to me. Ooh, makes a difference when your father talks to you, doesn't it? I said, makes a difference when your father speaks to you. Come on. The Hebrew culture. The father blesses his children, speaks over them. Come on, somebody. Oh, it makes a difference when your heavenly father speaks to you. And he's about to speak to you today. He's speaking over you. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. Ooh, thank God, thank God. I want us to pray. Abba, Father, help me this morning. I'm totally dependent upon you one more time. As I stand in the sacred office graced by your anointing. Lord, called by your spirit to do this work of ministry. I'm dependent upon you. Lord, there are young people here today that need you to speak to them and speak over them. Use me as that vessel in your mouthpiece today. Reach way down in the ebbs of my human spirit, wherein the Holy Spirit has deposited years of study, insight, and revelation, and Holy Ghost. I pray that from that deep well, you would bring and inspire my thoughts with those things that are pertinent to this subject, and that you move upon us and move us into the altar today. In Jesus' name, that we are able to move against the gates of hell. In Jesus' precious name. Everybody shout amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Some years ago, and this may mark my age, but some years ago, Coca-Cola had an advertisement that said, "We are the generation." Matter of fact, there's a boy that got a Coke. Stand up, son. Turn around, let me see your Coca-Cola shirt. All right, you may be seated. Amen. We are the Coke generation, Coca-Cola generation. There is a generation. I was praying some time ago and reflecting and meditating and studying, and my heart was directed to Proverbs chapter 30. In this chapter, Solomon gives a prophecy. He said, "This is a prophecy." And in his prophetic utterance of the Holy Ghost, he said, "There is a generation." Come on, somebody. "There is a generation," he said, "that curses their father, that does not bless their mama." Come on, somebody. "There is a generation that appear in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness." There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. "There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. The horse leech has two daughters crying, 'Give, give.' There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, 'It is enough.' The grave and the barren womb, the earth is not filled with water, and the fire says, 'It is not enough.' The fire says not, 'It is enough.'" Come on, somebody. Solomon gave this prophecy. He said, "There is a generation." He saw, I believe, through the prophetic lens of the Holy Ghost, a day upon the earth, such as our day. Come on, somebody. It is our time. I believe he saw. There is a generation. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mama. Come on, somebody. There is a generation that has no reverence, that has no honor, that has no respect for their elders, for their mama and their daddy. You say, "You don't know my mama. You don't know my daddy." Come on. "You don't know my stepdad or my stepmom." Oh, come on, somebody. But young people, we are to be subject to them as much as is possible. I said as much as is possible. Possible, lest it come to the point to where they are asking us to do something or pushing us to cross the line against Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. But other than that, we are to honor them. We are to respect them as those who are in authority over us. You say, "You don't know what they've done to me." Come on. Oh, but yet you can forgive them. By the grace of God, you can forgive. Somebody say amen. Oh, but there is a generation who has no honor at all, who has no respect and no reverence for those things that are sacred and those things that are honorable and those who are over them in authority. Come on. I see graffiti even on this camp painted on bunk beds. I see graffiti painted on train cars. And Brother John Byle, I believe, was somebody was visiting, talked about how they'll get paint cans and even go down a block or a street block and spray cars with it. Come on. No respect, no honor, no reverence. Come on. There is a generation, Solomon said in prophecy, that has not even for their mama or their daddy. There's a generation who are pure in their own eyes, yet not washed from their filthiness. My, what a generation that we are raising in the church. Come on, somebody. Oh, you hear what I'm saying. A religious generation, a generation that we're raising in most of our churches in America as a whole, who know nothing about the blood of Jesus of which we sing, who know nothing about the supernatural born again experience by the agency of the power of the Holy Ghost, who know nothing about the fellowship and relationship of walking with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on, somebody. Yet they live in sin, live in the world and in sin and follow after their flesh, and yet they have been led to think that they are all right. They've been led to think that somehow, by some way, they are pure. They're pure in their own eyes, deceived by the deception of a religious devil. Come on, somebody, to think that they're ready to walk on streets of gold. But they're going to, if they leave this life in that state, they'll wake up and it won't be streets of gold they'll be walking on. It'll be flames of a fiery pit called hell that they'll be walking among the damned and the doomed. Wake up, church. We've raised a generation in America that are pure in their own eyes. Come on, yet they have not been cleansed. Help us, Lord Jesus. A generation full of pride, a generation full of haughtiness. Their lofty eyes and their eyelids are lifted up, haughty and prideful. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Nobody can tell them anything. I've been to this college or that college or this university or that university. I know this or I know that. Nobody can tell them anything. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go my way. Come on, somebody. Their eyelids are lifted up in haughtiness and pridefulness and a spirit of rebellion. Come on, somebody. Solomon said there is a generation that devours with teeth like sharp knives. They devour the less fortunate. They devour one another. A generation, a society that cares nothing about, thinks nothing about devouring one another. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about proverbially so. Devouring one another just to get ahead, they think, in life. Devouring one another just because they don't do like they want them to do. Come on, somebody. A generation that devours one another. A generation like in America that is turned inward upon herself. Upon itself and devouring one another. Come on, somebody. Was a time in my dear daddy's day in the time of the Depression in the 1930s. There was a time then that neighbors were neighbors. Come on, somebody. If your neighbor, you knew your neighbor, and if they had a need, you reached out to help them. Come on. If their barn needed building, all the neighbors came together to help one another build a barn. But it's not that way in America today. It's survival of the fittest. It's devour whoever you can devour just to get ahead. To get another dollar in your pocket, to build a bigger bank account, come on, to get a bigger house, and we're suffering from it today. You hear what I'm preaching today? Come on, somebody. Oh, help us, a generation. There is a generation. There is a generation who Solomon described like these things who cannot say it is enough. They're constantly devouring, constantly. Their flesh, the desires of their flesh, fulfilling the desires and the lust of their flesh. They cannot say, it is enough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, as our evangelist preached yesterday, just one bite. That's all it took for Eve, one bite. That's what the enemy will tell you. Just one time won't hurt. But I can tell you there's a lot of young folks done it one time. And today they're bound in addictions and habits and bondages. Come on, somebody. You hear what I'm saying? Just one time. Now their flesh dictates to them. Their flesh controls them and orders them. And the chains of sin and of Satan's imps holds them in bondage. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Woo! And that old flesh cannot say it is enough. The story was told in this regard, this illustrative point I'm about to give you of a young man who contacted AIDS by way of the lifestyle of homosexuality. His body broke out in sores all over his body. But yet that young man, though he had broke out in sores, would still stand on the street corners in the red light district and beg for some other man to come and have him. Come on, somebody. What is that? That's the depth of which sin will carry you. Come on, somebody. That's the depth of which the flesh will control you to the point you cannot say it is enough. Come on, somebody. Shout, help me. me, Lord. Somebody say, help me, Lord. Oh, who shall deliver us from this flesh? Come on, somebody. Who shall deliver us from this flesh? Oh, none but him. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, he will deliver us. Would somebody shout amen? I said he will deliver us from this death, from this cankering, dying, decaying flesh. He will deliver me. Lift your hand and shout. He is my deliverer. Delivers me from the flesh. There is a generation. I want to tell you this morning, there is a generation out there like this. There is a generation like this. But I want to tell you at the same time as well, don't be in despair. Don't be in despair. Oh, don't be weeping and in despair. For God, Elijah, has 7,000 others who have not yet bowed their knee to Baal. Hallelujah. Nor kissed his image. Come on, somebody. Did you hear me? I said, did you hear me, Pentecostal young people? Come out of your caves. I said, come on out of your caves. Oh, the devil's crowd is coming out of theirs. Come on. But God's going to have a generation. I said, there is a generation of God. The devil has a generation locked in his chains. But God Almighty, through the precious blood of his son, has a generation. I said he has a generation in this hour who are going to come forth out of their dark and musky smelling caves. Come on, somebody, because God's not through with this generation. I said, Elijah, God's not through with you. Get out of that dark musky cave. Come on out of that cave of depression. Come on out of that cave of oppression. God's got a greater anointing for you. God's got a work for the just generation to finish. Shout amen, somebody. Ooh. Look at your neighbor, say, get out of your cave. Say, God's got to work for you. There is a generation, hallelujah. Oh, yes, there are those who have yet to bow their knee to Baal of this world or to kiss his image. God has a generation. He always got a generation. Come on, somebody. I said, God's always had a generation. Come on. He's always had a generation of which he has in his hands. That moment, strategic coherence of time, he has lifted up. Come on, somebody. Study church history. In darkened times of great evil, in darkened days of religiosity, permeating and saturating and dominating the minds of men, deceived of devils of religion. Come on, God's always had a generation. Come on, somebody, preserved for him. Come on, somebody. I said he's always had a generation preserved for himself. A pure generation. Go all the way to the book of Revelation. God said he's going to redeem Israel. God's going to save Israel as a nation. How's he going to do it? He's going to have a select, a reserved group of Jewish people that are his. Come on. A seed of Jewish people that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, their Messiah. Come on, somebody. They're going to walk through this earth in the tribulation. Shout amen and preach the gospel. Would somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise? I don't care how dark it gets. It's not over till the master says it's over. It's not over, young people, until that angel puts one foot on the sea and one foot on the land and declares time to be no more. It's not over. It's not over. God's got a generation preserved and reserved. And that generation is you. Come on. That generation is you that are saved, washed in the blood, born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost. God's got a generation that are reserved and preserved for this time. For this time, you that were in prayer class, we taught on Esther in prayer. Her name means star. Esther lived in the chronos of time. In her daily, everyday life, chronos, can we get the word chronology? It's just the daily walk and day of your life. And thank God he walks with me and talks with me and tells me I'm his own in the chronos of my life. But there are kairos. Kairoses, which is the divine select ordained times, strategically placed by the divine providential mind, infinite mind of Almighty God. He has a generation today. We see America, our hearts are pierced with sorrow and sadness, and we wonder what's going to happen to America. I don't know, but what maybe America is going to perish in the pages of prophecy as a nation. But I know this much. I know what's going to happen in America. Oh, come on. Before the rapture of the church, God has you, his generation. There is a generation that belongs to God. There is a generation reserved and preserved by the precious blood of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Don't weep in despair. Don't weep in despair, Samuel. Get up off your face. Stop crying. Because I have chosen a king. Shout it, man, somebody. Stop crying. Stop weeping. I've got a generation that's rising up. I've got a generation preserved. They out yonder on the hillside. Taking care of Papa's sheep. Oh, they're ruddy looking bunch, young. Come on, but I got them preserved and reserved. Get up and stop weeping and crying. I've got a king. I want you to know today, my heart breaks to see America in the state she's in today, politically and spiritually most of all. And we're in political position. We are because of our spiritual status. Would somebody shout amen right there? Come on! America has got what she has wanted. I said America has got today what she has wanted. You hear what I'm saying? In our high office of government has got what she wanted. And I weep and I want to cry, but I hear God say, Brother Evangelist, don't weep, don't cry, because I've got a generation. Somebody shout amen. It's not a Coca-Cola generation. It's not a Pepsi generation. Come on, somebody. It's not a devil's generation. It's my generation, God said, clothed in my blood, baptized in the firepower of the sweet Holy Ghost. I've got a generation. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I can tell you, pastors and youth pastors, I get just not discouraged, but I get distraught looking at young people in our communities, and I almost want to despair. But then God says, oh, I have 14 others that are my generation that are sitting on the pews of your church at Crossroad Pentecostal Church of God every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And there's 13, 14 others that the devil don't have. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, can I preach? Can I preach? Can I tell you, I'm going to McDonald's after church on Sunday night, or Pizza Hut or something, and I see other youth groups from other churches in Fort Smith that for the large part are just clubs, are just hangout clubs. Come on. You said, who made you judge? Well, I'm just like the umpire at your little boy's baseball game. I just got to call it like I see it. Shout amen, somebody. From some of these churches that give them nothing but a piece of pizza and a Coca-Cola on Wednesday night. Come on, somebody. Pats them on the head, reads a little verse, and dismisses them to go home. Come on, somebody. Just like the king. and they act that way in restaurants after church. There are terror, and waiters just hate to see those churches coming. Come on, and those young people coming because they're a terror. But I can tell you right now that the Lord encouraged me and said, you got 14 young people at Crossroads Church that the devil don't have, that this loose living, adulterating church religious age don't have. Nurture them, pray for them, preach to them, get them full of the Holy Ghost. I got something. I'm lifting them up to perform. Shout amen, somebody. There is a generation, oh yes, reserved and preserved. I want to label that generation. God has a generation. It is a generation. I know Solomon was talking about the flesh-driven, devil-possessed generation whom the flesh cannot say it is enough. But God's got a generation of young people, young men and young ladies who are in love with him, who have become and are like you were last night. Pastor Goodwin told me, I've been working over the concession stand. My wife and I and Pastor Goodwin came, and he told me, I said, how'd it go? He said, we had a 2-hour altar service. Y'all show quiet. Was y'all in the altar last night? Wave at me. 2-hour altar service. I don't believe I'll go preach on it Sunday morning. Come on, young people. Do you realize a 2-hour altar service, praying, speaking in tongues, talking to God in the English language, talking to God in the language of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit groaning and praying through you around these altars, penetrating and saturating the heavens above us, where the principalities of darkness abide, where the prince of darkness abides, in the atmosphere above us. Come on, somebody. But while you were praying last night, devils were scattering, devils were running. One of you was chasing 5,000. Come on, 2 of you, 10,000. Shout amen, somebody. Hallelujah! 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 Some of you were fighting devils off of your unsaved brothers and sisters. Some of you were fighting devils off of your mamas and your stepdaddies and saying, you can't have them. We're going to believe God. They're going to be saved. Take your hands off of them now. Come on. He has a generation. A generation who cannot say it is enough. Come on. A generation of young people who with Christ and the Holy Ghost and the things of heaven, we cannot say it is enough. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, come on. Oh, hallelujah. Less of me, Lord, and more of you, God. Less of me, Lord, and more of the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist said, I must decrease. That's the key. Brother Clendenin said, the indictment of our church in America is we do not have the capacity to get God and to receive of him. We don't have the capacity no more. Nobody's preaching to hunger for God, but God's going to have a generation who's going to have a capacity for God that makes the Grand Canyon look like a hole in the road. Come on, a pothole in the road. Shout amen. It's not enough, Lord. It's not enough, Lord. I got one soul saved. It's not enough. I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. It's not enough. Hallelujah. God used me to gift to the Spirit. It's not enough. I want more, God. I want more, God. Hallelujah. I pray for 2 hours. I pray for 3 hours. I pray for 4 hours. I want God. Want to decrease, he may increase. Hallelujah. When I was 15 years old, I started preaching. Got saved via the Holy Ghost. When I was 14 and a half years old, a little town in southeast Oklahoma, I didn't have responsibilities. Of course, that I do today. And God challenged me to pray 3 times a day like Daniel. And I did because I live right across the road from the schoolhouse. I'd pray for one school. Get out at lunch, I'd go home and pray. Get out of school at 3, go home and pray. Even before I did my homework. Hallelujah. Or times I'd go way out in the woods and find a fallen oak. I found a tree that had fell over. It was just the right height. I believe God prepared an altar for me. How? Come on. We get excited because we get a check in the mail. We get excited because we get a raise at Denny's where we're working. I want us to get excited because we got an altar. Get excited because I've got an altar. An altar. Where I meet God. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. But I remember those days. I didn't have adult obligations. There were times I'd come home after school and enter into the closet of prayer. And oh, there were times that I'd pray and the Holy Ghost would come in that little Indian home bedroom. I'd speak in tongues. I'd preach. I'd sing. I'd have a time. Me, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. I had a full-length mirror in my room that was there before I got saved. That's back in the 80s. And back in the 80s, I used to have long hair. Went down a little past my shoulders. Daddy didn't like it. Come on. It's where he didn't make me get a haircut. But mama kind of knew what she was doing there. But anyway, long story. I had hair hanging down my shoulders. I had a full-length mirror in my bedroom because I would use mama's curling iron. And I split my hair down the middle and feathered it back. Come on. I wore John Travolta clothes. I sure enough did, man. I remember wearing that John Travolta looking silk shirt and gray pants to church one night. He's my father-in-law now, but my pastor about had a heart attack. Come on, somebody. But oh, great God, after I got saved, born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost, come on, John Travolta was gone. He's out the window, honey. Praise God. I put on a new coat. I put on a new coat. I threw off the old coat and put on a new. Shout amen, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That full-length mirror stayed in my room. I'd get to praying in the Holy Ghost. I'd get to preaching, and I'd get in front of that full-length mirror. And come on, I had the burn of the call of God, and I'd go to preaching. In the name of Jesus, you need to get saved. Come on, and I'd preach. I'd go to church by myself, and my mom and dad had a key. He was a deacon. I'd go inside that church, little in the Assembly of God church. I'd climb up in the pulpit, amen, and I'd preach. I'd take a text and preach, but there were times I spent hours in prayer. Come on, and it seemed like just a little time in the presence of God. What are you saying, Brother Tom? I'm saying God has a generation that cannot say it is enough. Come on, lift your hand and shout amen. Somebody lift your hand and shout, it's not enough. Praise God. It's not enough. It's not enough. He has a generation. Its title is It's Not Enough. He has a It's Not Enough generation. It's that generation that has the capacity to receive of God. Come on and manifest Christ in this earth and manifest Christ's will as it already is in his presence, to manifest it tangibly in this earth. What you were doing for 2 hours last night, and since you've been here, what you were doing was what Noah did. The ark of God was reserved in heaven. No man had ever seen it, only resided in the presence of God. And Noah, being a man of faith and righteousness and a man of the altar, come on, somebody, reached up in the heavenlies. God spoke to him, you're to build an ark, and he gave him the plans. Come on, a little over 100 years later, there it was. The ark was manifested from heaven, it was manifested in the earth, and it was God's tangible will. Shout amen for that time. time and for that hour, and the devil couldn't handle it. I said the devil couldn't handle it. It was that God's will that could not sink. It could not sink. It could not be destroyed because it was God's will. Somebody shout hallelujah. And what you were doing in the altars was reaching up and taking a hold of God's will, his kingdom will, and manifesting it in this earth. And the devil can't stop God's will. Shout amen, somebody. It is a generation who cannot say it is enough that manifests God's will. Somebody shout, I am that generation. Oh, that cannot say it is enough. It is this same chapter in Proverbs that Solomon prophesied. See, he describes through these things a generation. And he said, where I read from a while ago, he said, there is the ants, he said. He said, there is the ants who are a little people. Come on, are little, he said. Their ants are people not strong, rather. Yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Hallelujah. He said these little creations of mine, of God's in the earth, are wise like the ants. They are not strong. Come on. Yet they prepare. Huh? They prepare for the winter. In the summer, they prepare. Come on. This generation that says, that cannot say it is enough, is the generation who are like the ants, come on, who are like the ants, who are going to prepare. Come on, somebody. Huh? I said are going to prepare. My prayer is that when you leave this camp, come on. I said that when you, that before you leave this camp, brother, you will begin to prepare like the ants, because it's not going to be a mountain every day when you leave here. You're going to leave this collective atmosphere of Christian Holy Spirit baptized friends and preaching three times a day and an altar service three or four times a day. And you're going to go back to your homes and back to your families. But I can tell you right now, oh, hallelujah, you can prepare today. Day. I said you can prepare before you go back. You can be like the ants, and you can be wise and be like the ants, though you be not strong. I said, though you be not strong in yourself, there are none of us who can stand against the heat of the adversary Lucifer and his imps. There are none of us in ourselves that can stand the heat of temptations coming against us in ourselves. We cannot stand it. We cannot stand the pressure we feel from old friends in the world when they come against us when we get back home. We cannot stand the music of the world from which we have come out of, some of you. When you go back home, it's all around you. There's a pool there. You're not strong enough. I said, you're not, though you be not strong, yet you can be wise like the ants, and you can prepare on this campus in these altars. You can prepare by crying, God, make me strong in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody shout amen. You can prepare by changing some things before you leave this campus, whether it's by mental change, or you may have some stuff tucked away in your luggage that should not be there that you snuck in on this campus. Come on, somebody. I can tell you right now, I can speak. I can speak for Pastor Goodwin. It would not hurt. We would do nothing to you if tonight you would bring that that article or that thing that you have in your possession that does not belong in your possession as a born-again, spirit-filled child of God, but it's still in your possession and you have it on this campus, you can bring it tonight and throw it at the altar and say, I may not be strong like an ant in my flesh, but I'm strong in the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to make some changes while I'm here. I'm going to prepare. Shout hallelujah. I am that generation that cannot say it is enough. He said the ants prepare. They prepare. They become, oh yes, they prepare for in the summer, for the time that's coming in the winter. You can prepare here for the winter trial and hardships that are going to come your way. Come on, somebody. Somebody shout life. Oh, shout life. Shout life. Lift your hand and lift one hand and put the other hand on your belly and say, I got life in me. Oh, come on, you too quiet. Jump up on your feet right now, everybody. Jump up on your feet. Slap your hand on your belly and one hand toward the heaven's throne and shout, the Spirit of Christ and his life lives in me. The Spirit of Christ lives in me. Life is in me. Shout it, life is in me. You may be seated. The devil hates life. You have now entered into a conflict. You've entered into the conflict of life. The devil hates life. He's going to assail you with all the powers of darkness. When you walk off of this campus, he's going to assail you with all the powers and fury of the gates of hell. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? My God, he won't give up. He'll come over and over again. He'll come to you. But if you are like the ant and you have made preparations by saying, God, make me strong, and by getting these altars and praying, and by making changes on this campus before you leave, by surrendering something that you have in your possession that you should not have, and you put it on the altar tonight, or you make mental changes. That when I say that, I mean you're saying, when I get home, I'm going to do thus and so. This has got to go. That's got to go. Oh, loose living, Lucy. Come on, young men. Come on, young men. Hallelujah. You make mental changes on this campus today and tonight. And you say, great God, when I get home, old loose living Lucy has got to go. Yes. Come on. You say, he probably never had to deal with that. He probably always dated Holy Ghost filled girls. Well, I made a few mistakes. I ain't proud of it. You know, these girls went to church. I was a 17-year-old preacher, and just because they sitting on a pew and they were pretty, I thought, hey, go out with me, get a hamburger. Come on, somebody. One girl I tuck out, she's a year older than I was. She come to church and everything, our home church. I tuck her out. We was out. Nah, B, if she didn't plug in a country and western tape. Come on, somebody. No, it's a radio. That's what. She reached over and turned the radio on and put it on a country and western station. Come on, somebody. And ooh, it was one of them loose living songs. Come on, somebody. I felt the Holy Ghost come in that car. I got nervous. I said, oh, God in heaven, help me, sweet Jesus. How do I get out of this? Come on. But the Lord helped me. Come on, somebody. I said, loose living Lucy got to go, or I'm going to lose everything I've got in Christ. I'm going to lose everything I've got, including my ministry, including my anointing, including Christ. And I do not want to pay that price. I refuse to go there. Come on. Come on. Make some mental changes and say, by the grace and help of God, loose living Lucy has got to go. Come on. You young ladies, come on, you got to say about Mr. Macho. Come on. He's got to go. He's got to go. No more texting him. No more on the Facebook contact. Come on. I'm going to tell Mr. Macho, you got to go, Mr. Macho. Mr. Macho, I am Nacho girl. No more. Hear me. No more. We're not going out. We're not going steady. We're not getting married. I'm in love with Jesus. Shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Make some changes. Make preparation. You're the generation that cannot say it is enough. He said the conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks. Now, I didn't know what conies were, but you know, I'm so glad on one end for technology. Oh, I wasn't meaning the old youth thing on the back. I forgot that's on there. I'm talking about the cell phone. I can get on Google and Google it. And on my way over here in the golf cart, I Googled it. And Google told me that conies are in the Middle East and they're sort of like rabbits, but not as, how to say it, they chew their cud, but they don't have feet to dig. They're real feeble. They can't make a burrow in the ground. They're real feeble. And so they build their house in the rocks. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. You prepare, and like the conies, who are feeble folk, you build. Come on, somebody. You build. You prepare. Somebody shout, prepare. Shout, build. Well, we sung it the other night. I'm building up a wall and I can't come down. I'm building up a wall and I can't come down. I'm building up a wall and I won't come down. I'm building up a wall and I won't come down. No, no. Come on, you conies. You're a bunch of feeble folk. You're a bunch of feeble young ladies and feeble young men. You can't handle the heat of the day. Come on, that the adversary will pour out upon you. You cannot handle life in general. You're a feeble folk. We are a feeble folk. But one thing we can do, because we're born again, because we're baptized in the sweet Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Devil, I can't do a lot of things. I can't stand against you. I can't stand what you bring against me. But one thing I can do, I can build. I can build. And I'm going to build my house in the rock. In the rock. Come on, somebody. I said I'm going to build my house, my habitation. I'm going to build it in the rocks. Sister Candace, I'm going to build it in the rock. In the rock of ages. Clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Come on, shout. I'm going to build on the rock, Christ Jesus. It's there on that rock, the rock of Christ, the rock that followed Israel in the wilderness from which they drank, from which I drink. Come on, somebody. I'm a feeble folk. Oh, I can't make it by myself. I can't provide for myself, but I can build in the rock. I can have my dwelling in the rock because it's in the rock that I can drink from. Well, I said, it's in the rock that I can drink from. I said, I'm a part of the generation that cannot say it is enough because I'm going to build on the rock. I'm going to drink from the rock. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I can sing like you sang that old hymn in the church. There's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you, sister. Just leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Whew. I can tell you this life gets awful bitter. Brother Hatfield gets awful bitter. Young people gets awful bitter. Some of y'all may be facing those bitter times right now. Questions you don't understand. People who have left you and deserted you. I'm going to tell you something right now before I continue. I didn't know how this message is going to come out. But what I'm about to share with you, I was preaching this in my dream just two nights ago. What I'm about to share with you, and I didn't plan it, this, it just come out, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reminded my dream two nights ago on this campus. And I was preaching to you. And I said, there's some of you who are bitter. You're struggling with hurts and wounds, questions. I was preaching this, and I could feel the power like I do right now. You're struggling with hurts, heartaches, and heartbreaks, and wounds, and difficulties, and questions you don't understand, and the whys of life you cannot deal with alone. Come on, and bitterness has come your way, and you're being caused to drink from a bitter place. But oh, hallelujah, can I preach to you now and tell you that there's honey in the rock. Come on, my sister. There's honey in the rock for you. Come on. Build your house in the rock. Christ Jesus, because there's honey in the rock for you. I know what I'm talking about. I've had to drink from the bitter place. Some 6 years ago, I lost, and some of you have heard the testimony before. Please allow me to share a bit of it again. Some 6 years ago, when I sunk into deep depression, and my two girls were at home, and I sunk in deep depression. I was pastoring a wonderful church. The Holy Ghost was moving. Missions was going through the roof. I was preparing to go to Africa with my men's ministry and build tabernacles in Africa with the missionaries. I was already taking my shot to prepare to go, and I sunk into depression. We were pastoring a church with the youth ministry of some 50 youth in a youth ministry. Matter of fact, we came to one of Truth Retreats, and we had to bring two vans full of teenagers. Oh, come on. Missions given was through the roof. Come on, somebody. Oh, my God. We had local ministries going out and feeding hungry people and feeding the less fortunate and feeding in our local community, senior citizens. Come on, somebody. We were reaching out. We were moving forward, and the Holy Ghost has fallen. And I sank into depression. I didn't know what it was. I walked through 8 months of depression. Only at the end of 8 months of coming out of a hospital, to face a deacon board who had made the decision to release me and my family from our obligations as pastor. Come on, somebody. Oh, my God in heaven. But God was faithful to restore me. We lost it all. We lost it all. Had no place to live. We lost our income. We lost everything. Had to move in with my wife's cousin in their top part of their two-story house. Come on, somebody. Oh, God, I couldn't work. When I got out of the hospital, I had to spend 3 months in recovery. But can I tell you, God was faithful to pay every bill. Come on, somebody. Some of you in your churches sent us checks through the mail and said we felt led to bless you and your family. Come on, anymore. But there were days that I drank from a bitter place and said, why did they do that? Why did they release me? Why couldn't I stay? Why did this one do that? Why did that one say that? And I drank from a bitter place. But I had to get before God. Come on, somebody. I had to get before him. I was a feeble folk. I had to build on the rock. But I can tell you, I began to drink from the rock. Christ Jesus, honey in the rock, began to flow into my bitter soul. Shout amen, somebody. And I found out, amen, that he has more honey than the devil has bitterness. Shout amen. Somebody. I built in the rock. Built in the rock. Somebody shout, prepare. Say, build. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. Generation that cannot say it is enough is a generation that prepares, that builds, and is healed. And drinking from the rock and receiving the visitations of God's glory among the rocks. It's a generation
that like the locusts. Come on. That you ready? Stay together. Though they have no king, they stay together. Can I give you the contrast? You are the generation that will stay together. The generation, cannot say it is enough, is the generation that stays together, but you have a king. I said, you have a king. His name is Jesus. Lift your hand and shout, King Jesus. Shout, I have no king but Christ. Lift your hand and shout it. I have no king but Christ. Shout it again. I have no king but Christ. Say this with me. My main allegiance is to the cross. Shout, my allegiance is to the cross. Shout it. My allegiance is to the cross. I'm looking to see if this place has been bugged. We may have little cameras or something. Big, it goes back to Washington. They got a Nazi camp going on down there. They shout, I had no king but Jesus, no allegiance but to the cross. They're right. I said, they're right. We're a new race of people. We're born up again, blood washed, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, power filled race of people on this earth. Shout amen. This generation will stay together. What are you saying, Brother Tom? The locusts stay together. Those grasshoppers stay together. And they fly together so much that when there's a great number of them, it looks like a dark cloud. And they're all together. And they hit a large crop in a matter of minutes. It's gone. I want to tell you, stay with the group. Be like the locusts and stay with the crowd. Stay with the group. Stay with God's crowd. Stay with the blood-washed crowd. Stay with the King's group. Come on, somebody, shout, stay with the group. Some of y'all, when you were in children's church or elementary school, and even as teenagers, your youth pastor takes you out on outings to a large place, and they say, stay with the group. Stay paired up. Don't you leave so-and-so, and we'll meet back here at so-and-so, and you stay with the group. When you're in elementary school, they keep you all together. I get tickled. I go up to the public school sometimes, and them little elementary kids, their teacher got a long, come on. And all them little kids got to hold that rope. Come on. Hallelujah. I got a rope this morning. Come on. It's a scarlet rope. Oh, y'all missing it right there. Oh, I said, you missed it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I read about a prostitute who became pure with her faith in God Almighty. Come on, somebody. She throwed that rope out the window. But in essence, she threw the rope to her family. And they took hold. And they stayed together. And the whole house was saved. Hallelujah. Grab his hand. Come on, man. Grab his hand. Grab his hand. Hallelujah. Grab his hand. Come on. Shout, we're going to stay together. Come on. We're going to stay together. Hallelujah. Through storm clouds. Hallelujah. And stormy weather. We're going to stay together. Hallelujah. He got my back. I got your back. We're going to stay together. We got no king but Jesus. We got no allegiance but the cross. We're going to stay together. We're together. If you're going to take one of us, you're going to take all of us. Hallelujah. Shout amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Stay together. Don't get away from the group. You get away from the group. I said you get away from the group, you're sure to be destroyed. There's power in unity. Hallelujah. Can you imagine a group of young people swooping down upon the fields of harvest where Satan has those who are bound, but we swoop down in the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. This generation that cannot say it is enough, and in a matter of time we are reaping the harvest. Shout amen, somebody. This one gets saved, and that one gets saved, and that one reaches another. Shout amen, somebody, until the harvest of hell is spoiled. Shout amen. Because we stayed together. Look at your neighbor, shout, stay together. Tell somebody, stay with the group. Last, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. This generation that cannot say it is enough prepares and builds and stays together. They're like spiders who are diligent to take hold. The KJV says, in the interpretation of Solomon's words, they take hold with the hands and they live. Come on. She takes hold with her hands and lives in the king's palace. Oh, y'all gonna get that about lunchtime today. It's going to dawn on you while you eating a hot dog. Come on. It's going to hit you with an anointed load of bricks, so to speak. And you're going to be eating that hot dog and say, ah, oh my God. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Did you hear what that preacher said? Hey. I can be like a spider and with my hands take hold and live in the king's palace. How many of y'all want to live in the king's palace? We're in the kingdom. We're in the king's palace. Shout glory to God. Takes hold. Though it be a spider, lives in the king's palace. Somebody say, take hold. Look over at your neighbor. Ladies, gentlemen, grab him on the shoulder. Say, hey, take hold. Lift your voice and say it with me. Say, hold what you got. Come on. I said, lift your hand, shout, hold what you got. Because the devil wants to run you out of the king's palace. But I'm like a spider. You ever seen a spider web? Come on. Them boogers are fast. Huh? I said, them boogers are fast. They got a web built up here. And I watch them. And a fly. Zzz, now I hate flies. Zzz, fit. And I mean, the spider may be up here in the far corner of her web. Spider, I mean, a fly way down there. And all of a sudden, come on! It's fast. Somebody shout, she's fast. You ever try to get rid of that spider web? You hit that web. By the time you hit that web, that spider goes, foot, and then in the other corner, gone. Come on. Or it hits the floor. Sometimes it's successful, but sometimes you're like me. Come on. Hey. 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 way. Ain't no devil gonna run this generation out of the king's palace. We're here to stay. We're here to stay. We're gonna hold on. We're holding what we got. We're staying in the king's palace. Wow, wow, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Whew. Lift your hands, shout, it's not enough. Whew. Shout, I'm staying in the king's palace. Stand all across the sanctuary. Ooh, God. Hallelujah. Whew. Because you're holding on. The Lord spoke to me a moment ago in prayer in my dorm. Reminded me of the writer Revelation. It said, hold fast to that which thou hast, evangelist, that no man take thy crown. This generation lives in the king's palace, and we're crowned with his grace, crowned with his anointing. Come on, you hear what I'm saying? And I'm gonna hold fast. What I have, that no man and no devil takes my crown. Hallelujah. The generation that cannot say it is enough, more of God and less of me, more of God until I'm consumed with the presence of Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I like what Missionary Simpson said yesterday in our missions class. He said, it is giving of yourself to God and then letting God bless you and then give you and distribute you out to a lost world. Shout amen, somebody. Hallelujah. The generation cannot say it is enough. I don't know how we're going to do this, but everybody in this house, I felt checked of the Holy Spirit that if you're going to be that generation, not a Pepsi generation, not a Coke generation, not a hell hole generation, say, I'm going to be the generation that cannot say it is enough. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to build. Come on, somebody. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to build. I'm going to stay with the group. I'm going to live in the king's palace. I want you to line up in the center aisle of this church. If it's your desire to be that generation, line up in the center aisle. Let's do two lines. Yes, boys and girls. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Come here, Sister Kyra. I want you to stand right here. Stand right here next to me. Let's step down on this step. This down. I wish I had some crowns today, but I don't have any. But what we're going to do is you're going to be a part of this generation. Nobody's forced you to get in line. You're doing it because you say, I've heard the message of God. I'm going to be that generation. One by one, you're going to walk forward. You're going to kneel down on your knees. Place your hands in a prayer position and bow your head. Not to us, but to the King. We're going to be his representative. I'm going to take my hand like this. Sister Kyra's going to take her hand to the young ladies. And we're going to do like that on top of your head. And then I want you to stand up and move to the side and lift your hands. And let the Holy Ghost saturate you with his power. Because you are that generation that the devil don't have. Come on, somebody.
Hey, somebody lift your hand and shout, we're that generation. Oh, come on, say it like you mean it. Let hell reverberate. Let hell shake with the cry and the noise of the power of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Shout, we are that generation. Oh, shout it again. We are that generation. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Before we do it, one more time, throw your right hand up toward the heaven's throne and shout, I have no king. Oh, come on, shout it. I have no king but Jesus. I have no allegiance but to the cross of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, I need some musicians up here. Come on, play something Pentecostal. Amen. And I want you to start coming one by one, single file. When that one gets up and moves aside, the next one come. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, your Son, though this seem such a simple thing that we're about to do, we do it as ordained and directed of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would grace it with your anointing upon each of these young people. In your name, mighty Jesus, we do this today that they may experience the ordination and the divine commission of God, the God of heaven, in Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen.